Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments all the way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to be in Your house. I pray, Lord, that You just help me to preach, Lord, Father, this morning. Thank You, God, for the good singing. Thank You, God, for the good testimony. Thank You, Lord, for Your move that we've already felt come in this place. But Lord, I pray now that You just touch in the preaching hour, Lord. And I pray, Father, Lord, that I'd be able to deliver the message in the way You'd have me deliver it. Lord, Father, get past the ears and into the hearts of men. Lord, Father, that You just touch, Lord, and we give You the glory and the praise for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 This morning I want to preach a little bit on living on a mountain. Living on a mountain, if we can, this morning. And I'm looking mostly at all this chapter of chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. And I see a lot of things going on here in chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. And let me say, first of all, I see a theme throughout the chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. First of all, I want to say, God has a theme, and He's given Moses a message in this theme. And the theme is simply this: love the Lord, and number two, keep His commandments.
Yes, sir.
Love the Lord and keep His commandments. Over and over, you look throughout Deuteronomy chapter 11, you're going to see Moses say that again and again and over and over and over and over. Love the Lord and keep His commandments. Love the Lord, keep His commandments. I'm going to show you real quick. I'm not off track on this. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. I just read it to you. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. There it is. You need to love the Lord, keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments. Look on down to Deuteronomy 11 and 8. 11 and 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Deuteronomy 11 and 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love your God and to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul. Keep His commandments and keep on loving Him. Deuteronomy 11, 22, a same chapter. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to cleave unto Him. Friend, I'm telling you, He's telling you again and again and again to love Him and to keep His commandments. I tell you something, I find out in this modern day of 2007, the Lord keeps telling me over and over, just keep loving me and keep my commandments. Keep loving me and keep my commandments. I believe He's still telling the church that today. I believe that's the message to the world today. Keep loving me. If you'll just love me and keep my commandments, there's no end as to what I'll do for you. Amen. That's the theme throughout this chapter. God is telling us the same thing over and over. Love Him. Keep His commandments. And He often seems like to me, He often asks me on a daily basis, from time to time, He'll say, Scott, do you still love me? Do you still love me? You know what? He has to ask me that every once in a while. And I understand why He asked me that every once in a while. You know why He asked me? It's because I don't always show it to Him like I should. And sometimes He'll just nudge my heart and grip my heart and say, Scott, do you really love me? Do you still love me? Do you still love me? I'm telling you, sometimes God has to remind us to let Him know that we still love Him. Amen. And you say, oh, that's not as strange. It ain't that strange. How many times? I know it's happened in my marriage, probably happened in yours too. Has your wife or your husband ever come along and say, you still love me? You still love me? I haven't seen you show it much lately. I haven't seen you say it yet much lately. Or I'm here to tell you this morning, God's the same way. And we need to show Him how much we love Him. That's why He nudges us every once in a while and says, do you still love me? Do you still love me? And then He also, He seems to point out to me sometimes, There's commandments that He tells me to do and to keep. And He points out His commandments to me from time to time, too. Am I the only one that experiences that? Friend, I tell you right now, I'm frail, and I fail, and I'm weak, and I'm just human, and I do things wrong, and I don't always do what I should do or how I should do, but God seems to help me along the way, and He keeps me in check. And friend, I'm telling you, I want to love Him, and I want to keep His commandments. That's the theme throughout this chapter here. But then let me say, number two, there's a trade-off here in this chapter.
Yes, sir.
There's a trade-off. You see, we find this, that Moses is saying time and time again, if you love Him and keep His commandments, He's going to do something for you. If you do your part, God's going to do His part.
Yeah, right.
There's a trade-off here. And it starts with us. We've got to love Him and keep His commandments. And then He'll do these things for us.
Amen?
I'm here to tell you, though, if you'll love Him, that's what He's saying. If you'll love me and keep my commandments, I'm going to do something for you. Now, I want to point out something real close here to you. God's the one doing the bargaining here, not us. It's not God's people that's in a position to bargain with God.
Amen.
We're never in a position to bargain with God. It ain't up to us to come along and say, God, if you'll do this, then I'll do that.
Wow.
We're not in that kind of position. We don't have that kind of thought. By the way, you just ain't that important. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, we're not in a position to say, I tell you, I've heard people try to make bargains with God, and they try to make deals with God, and say, God, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. We're not in a position to bargain with God this morning. But instead, God has the authority, and God has the position to bargain with us. Amen, this morning. God has the authority to say, stop. If you'll love me and keep my commandments, I'll do this for you. I'll give you blessings, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. But see, God's doing the bargain, not me. And so, first of all, the trade-off, it starts with our part of loving Him and keeping His commandments. But then He does His part. What is His part? He gives us the land. Amen. He gives us a mountain to live on. Amen.
Yes.
That's the title of the message, Living on a Mountain. Deuteronomy 11 and 9. He said, this is what I'll do for you if you'll just love me and keep my commandments. He said, that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. He said, I'm going to give you a land that I promised your fathers and your forefathers. I'm going to give it to you if you'll just love me and keep my commandments. I'm going to give you a land that's a productive land that flows with milk, that is combed with honey. Glory to God, I'm telling you, I'm living on that kind of mountain this morning.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 11, 10 through 12. He said, I'll tell you exactly what I'll do. He said, I'm going to give you a land, I'm going to give you a mountain for you to live on. Where thou goest in to possess it is not. Hey, he said, this land that you're going to possess, it is not as the land of Egypt.
Amen.
Look at verse 10 with me, if you will. For the land where thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence you came out. Where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. He said, down there in the land of Egypt, you sowed, you labored, you watered, and all you got was a little dried up herb out of it all. He said, you never got much out of that land. But he said, this land I'm giving you ain't like that. It ain't like that. Thank God I'm not living in Egypt no more. Thank God I'm not lost no more. Amen. Thank God I'm not living in a barren land. Glory to God, I'm living in a better land.
Amen.
He said, I'm giving you a better land. He said, but this land I'm giving you in verse 11. Whither you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. You know what he's saying? He said, in God's land, in God's mountain, on God's mountain, he said, there'll be some ups and there'll be some downs. There'll be some hills and there'll be some valleys. I found it to be true in my Christian walk. But I'm telling you right now, whether it's a hill or whether it's a valley, he promised to send the rain. Woo! And he said, you'll never thirst. And he said, I'm going to take care of you. Amen. He's going to send living water. He said, I'm going to send this living water, and you'll drink water from the rain of heaven. He said, I'll make sure of it. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm putting you up on a mountain, and I'm taking care of you. Getting you a good land. He said, all you got to do is love me. Keep my commandments, and I'll give it to you. It's yours. In verse 12, he went on to say, he said, it's a land which the Lord thy God careth for.
Right.
Yeah. And the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. From the beginning of the year, even until the end of the year. You understand what he's saying here? God's land is so important. God himself takes care of it.
Amen.
They thought he was a gardener over there. When he rose from the dead, come to find out he is. He takes care of this land. He said, I never take my eyes off this land. And he said, one day, there's not one day that goes by in the year that God doesn't keep his eyes on that land. And he waters it, and he takes care of it, and he sows, and he reaps, and he works at it, and he keeps that land, and he takes care. He's a good farmer. He takes care of his land.
Yes, sir.
But I found out something. I kind of read in between the lines here. He's a doing all this on this mountain, and he's a taking care of it, and he's a watering it, and everything's good there. And then he took me. He saved my soul.
Yes.
And put me smack dab right in the middle of it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know what that means? That means he's going to take care of me too.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know what that means? He's never going to take his eyes off me. You know what that means? There's not one day, there's not one hour, there's not one minute, there's not one second that he's going to take his eyes off me, because I'm a living on his land and I'm a living on his mountain. Lord of God, I'm here to tell you this morning, God's got a land for you. If we're just loving and keeping his commandments, he'll put us on that mountain, and he'll keep us on that mountain of blessings, and he'll keep an eye on us.
Amen.
Lord of God, this morning, I'm glad I'm saved by his grace. But he said, I'll go even further than that. There's more on his part. Verse 14, he said, that I will give you the rain of your land in the due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil.
Yeah.
He said, not only am I going to send the rain, but I'm going to send it right on time. It's going to come in due season.
Amen.
You got to understand there's two different times of rain.
Yeah.
First rain and the latter rain. He said that first rain is going to come right on time. It ain't going to be a minute too late. It ain't going to be a minute too short. It ain't going to come too early. He said it'll be right on time. He said that latter rain is going to come right on time too. He said, hey, I'm telling you, when you're living on God's land, you ain't got to worry about it raining.
Amen. Amen.
You ain't got to worry about if God's going to provide for you. You ain't got to worry about if God's going to come through and bless you and help you and keep your land watered and provide for you. He said, not only that, I'm going to give you corn when you need corn. I'm going to give you wine when you need wine. I'm going to give you oil when you need oil. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're living on God's mountain, God's going to provide. God's going to sweep through, and he's going to help you.
Yes, sir.
When you're living on his mountain.
Yep.
In other words, there's going to be grass for your cattle. That's what he said in verse 15. He said the cattle's going to be provided, and there's going to be plenty to eat on his mountain. Amen. In other words, all accommodations are provided and paid for.
Amen.
Amen. I gave you the theme, love and keep his commandments. I gave you the trade. If you'll do these things, I'll do these things for you. I'm going to give you this. What happens to the traitor? What about the traitor? Verse 16. He said, take heed to yourself, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. He said, if you leave God for another God, if you stop worshiping Him and start worshiping other gods, there's going to be problems. There's going to be problems. Verse 17, he said, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He'll set up the heaven, and there be no rain, and the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land,
amen,
which the Lord giveth you. He said, you cut off me, I'll cut off you. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of places that have just absolutely cut God off.
Amen.
They've cut God off, and they're not living in blessings.
That's right.
And they're not living on the land of blessings. A traitor that betrays God and turns from God and no longer loves Him, no longer keeps His commandments. I'm telling you right now, He said in verse 17, perish, they'll perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you.
Yes.
In other words, you kicked yourself off of the land.
Right.
God didn't kick you off, you kicked yourself off.
Yes.
You're the one that went a running off to some other God. You're the one who started worshiping other things. You're the one that caused everything else to be more important than Him. You're the one who turned Him away. You're the one that stopped loving Him. You're the one that stopped keeping His commandments. You ran off with another and started worshiping it. I'm here to tell you how many of us have left God's good land. I'm telling you, when you leave God's good land, the scenery changes. Amen. I'm telling you, the people around you changes. You're no longer living on a land of blessing, but you're living in a land of cursing. Amen. I'm telling you right now, I don't want to run up from God. He's the one I want to worship. I found out if I'd stop pointing my fingers at everybody else and stop looking across the aisles at everybody else and start doing more of this and start worshiping Him more and loving Him more and trusting Him more and keeping His commandments, I find out He blesses me again and again and again, and He provides the rain, and He provides the corn, and He provides the wine, and He provides everything if I just love and command.
Yes,
keep His commandments.
Yes.
See, when you leave God, you stop doing what He wants you to do. Loving Him, keeping His commandments, you're going to suffer the loss of the land.
That's right.
You leave God means you'll leave the land, but that means also you leave the blessings. And you leave the fellowship, and you lose the peace.
That's right.
There's no more rain, there's no more fruit, there's no more blessings. And you leave the land. Let me say, also there's a teaching here. Moses said, I'm going to teach you something. We've learned about the theme, the trade, and what happens to the traitor. But then Moses said, I'm going to teach you something. Verse 18, he said, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be a frontlet between your eyes. He said, I want you to take what I'm telling you, to love God and keep His commandments. And He said, you write these things on your heart. You keep them in your heart and your soul to love God and keep His commandments. And He said, you write it on your hands if you have to. And you keep it in front of your eyes at all times. Never let it leave your sight to love God and keep His commandments. Verse 19, he went on to say, he said, if you want to stay on this land, this is how you do it. He said, teach it to your children. Speaking when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walk, and when you lie down, when you rise up. He said, I'm talking about, teach it to your children when you walk and when you sit and when you lie down, when you get up. Speak these commandments. I'm going to love God and keep His commandments. I'm going to love God and keep His commandments. I'm going to love God, keep His commandments. He said, you put that, you pour that in your children, and you walk with them, and you tell them about it. And when you sit down with them, you tell them about it. And when you lie down at night, before you lie down, you tell them about it. And when you get up in the morning, you tell them about it. You tell them to love God and keep His commandments. He said, that's the way you'll never betray God. That's the way you'll never become a traitor. And that way you'll stay on the land. Moses is teaching them how to live on the mountain.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm just getting to the body of this thing. Amen. I'm just about done, though. Thank God I'm living on a good mountain. Last part of Moses' sermon, we find in Deuteronomy 11:26. He said, "Behold, I set before you the day a blessing and a curse.
Yes, sir.
A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known." Verse 29, "And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land where thou goest to possess, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Gerizim and the curse upon Ebal." See, there's two mountains here. He said there's a mountain of Gerizim and there's a mountain of Ebal. And you've got a choice. You can live on one or the other. You can go to either one you want to go to. He said Gerizim is a mountain of blessings, but Ebal is a mountain that's cursed. You can live on whichever one you want to live on. And he, in Deuteronomy 28, I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but I do want to just give you some examples of what he said about living on Ebal. He said, "You live on Ebal, you're going to be cursed all your days." He said, "The city's cursed, the field's cursed, the store's cursed, the basket's cursed, the fruit is cursed, flocks are cursed, whether you go in or whether you go out, it's all cursed. You'll suffer fever, inflammation," this is all in there. He said, "You're going to suffer fever, inflammation, extreme burning. The sword will chase you, and you will be blasted." He said, "You'll get moldy and covered with mildew until you perish." That's what the Word of God said about it. He said, "Above you is brass and below you is iron." What do you mean by that? In other words, there's nothing around you but cold, hard feelings. Amen. All around you. The land and the rain is like powder and dust. And he said, "You'll be blind and you'll act crazy and you'll suffer shock." He said, "Your skin will itch and scab over and it won't be able to heal, and the birds will eat your flesh if you decide to go live on Ebal." You got to understand about Ebal. Ebal was a land that was desolate. Nothing grew there. Nothing was productive there. Nothing was good there. It didn't rain there much. And there was nothing on Ebal. I'm telling you, when I was lost and without God, out of God's will, I lived on Mount Ebal. I lived on Mount Ebal. A friend went on to say, he said, "You'll take a wife, but she'll leave you for another." He said, "You'll build a house, but you'll never get to live in it." He said, "You'll plant a vineyard, but you'll not eat one grape off of it." He said, "All your livestock will be slain." And he said, "One day your children will grow up, and they'll leave you and go to another land. They'll go somewhere else. You'll lose your children, and all you can do is mourn and cry because you never see them." He said, "The devil's your father." He said in verse 43, he said, "The stranger, that's the devil," he said, "that is within thee." In other words, living in you, "shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low." And he said in verse 44, "He shall be the head, and you'll be the tail." Up friend, I'm here to tell you, I used to live on Ebal.
Amen.
I used to live on Ebal. I could still be living on Ebal if it wasn't for the grace of God. I could have been in hell and my back broke. I could have been in jail tonight. I could have been somewhere out there drunk in the stomach. I could have been out there with four or five wives and everything else that Ebal brings. I could have been dying in my own sins and in my own sins. And friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, thank God I'm not living on Ebal. Glory to God. I'm not living on Ebal this morning, but instead I'm living on Jesus.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God, you may not be getting this, but I sure am getting a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm on Jericho this morning. I'm telling you, I'm in a city that's blessed. I'm in a field that's blessed. I have fruit that's blessed. I have ground that's blessed, cattle that's blessed, sheep that's blessed, stores that are blessed, and baskets that are blessed. Whether I go in or whether I go out, I'm a living on a blessed land this morning. Hallelujah. I found that I'm in His favor. I've been highly favored. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I got a good wife that loves me, takes care of my children, dresses them, clothes them, and provides for them, and helps them, helps me. Amen. I'm telling you, a friend to me when I'm down, when I'm troubled. Glory to God. God provided me a good wife, and praise God for her. I'm living on a mountain of blessings. Woo! Glory to God. This morning, I'm telling you, you're living on a mountain of blessings, brother Eddie. Amen. The Lord bless you in your ministry. Got you a good home, good wife, and a good family. Brother God, you've got a good home. And I've seen many of you. I'm telling you, Tony Becker, he's a living on a mountain of blessings.
Amen.
Yep. He used to live on evil. Couldn't stand church. Couldn't stand to come to church. But now he's in church. And he's living for God. He's living on a mountain of blessings. He's living on a mountain of blessings. Grown daughters in church with him. Amen. Grandkids in church with him. A wife that's in church. I'm telling you, you can live on a mountain of blessings. You can live on Jerusalem this morning. Whoa, glory to God. I'm living on a mountain of blessings.
Amen.
How about you?
Yes, right.
He said your treasures are going to be blessed. He said your work's going to be blessed.
Yes.
He said your will be on the top and not on the bottom.
Yes.
He said you're going to be above and not beneath. He said your kids are going to be blessed. He said you're so blessed you can be able to lend to somebody else and you'll never have to borrow a thing. Woo! Glory to God. He said, blessings going to come your way. He said, not only are they going to come your way, those blessings just going to overtake you. Amen. They're just going to overtake you. If you don't believe what I'm saying, go home and read chapter 28. Chapter 28, it's all about it. And I'm still living on Jerusalem. Woo! I'm living on Jerusalem this morning. Hallelujah to His name. No more on Ebal. No more living in that land. But this is what I want to get to this morning. I'm just about done. Deuteronomy 30:15. Moses said one more time to him. He said, see, I've set before you this day life and good, but also death and evil. Said, you got a choice this morning. You can live on Jerusalem. You can live on Ebal. It's up to you. Don't we all face that choice somewhere down the road? Life or death. Save or loss. Live on Jerusalem. Live on Ebal. As an 8-year-old boy, God began to deal my heart and gave me a choice. Heaven or hell was the choice I thought I was making. And it was. But when I come down and called on His name and He moved in my heart, I didn't realize He was going to put me over there. I didn't realize that choice brought so much help and so many blessings throughout my life over and over and over again.
Amen.
Majority of the class I graduated with at the poorest, out drunk somewhere, on dope somewhere, out of the will of God somewhere, and they don't know what I'm experiencing on that journey.
Amen, brother. That's right.
Woo! Amen. God put me on a mountain to live on. That Jerusalem, here I am. I'm living on God's mountain.
Amen.
And there's not a day goes by that he don't water it. And there's not a day goes by he don't sow on it. He don't look after it. There's not a day that goes by he don't provide the rain. And he don't provide. I'm telling you, he watches after me in that land. Glory to God, it's going to be on Mount
Jericho.
Whoa. I chose life. Because he chose me. But let me show you something else. You say, what in the world has this got to do with revival? I'll tell you what it's got to do with revival. You're facing a week of revival here. Man of God, my Lord, what a preacher is going to come in here and preach the Word of God to you. You got a choice. You can live on Jerusalem this week, or you can live on Ebal this week. What are you talking about? Well, you can come to revival. Put your heart and soul into this. Love God. Give me soul. Pray like everything. Pray for the meeting. Ask God to bless. Throw your heart into it. Get here early. Pray with the men, folk. Amen. And if you'll do those things, you're showing God how much you love Him. And you're going to be keeping His commandments. And when you do those things, God's going to pour out blessing after blessing after blessing. I'm telling you, there can be a Jerusalem right here in this church this
week.
But on the other hand, you say, well, I'll come when I can. And I'll do it part of the time this week. I'll do it half-hearted. I can't really throw my heart into this. I got too much of going on. I can't really participate like I'd like to. I won't follow God like I really should because I'm just too busy. You know, that's what that fellow said over there. He said, I just married a wife. I got other better things to do. I just bought a piece of land. I got that to do. And I got this to do and that to do. And friend, let me tell you something. He lived on Ebal. And this morning, you can choose whether to live on Garrison this week or live on Ebal. You can throw your heart in this thing and God send revival your way, a personal revival between you and Him. Friend, I'm telling you, He's bringing in a man of God, and no doubt He'll be with the man of God, and the man of God will preach, and the man of God will help those that will listen. And I'm telling you, it's going to take your presence, and it's going to have to take you throwing your heart into it in order to live on Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
What will you choose? What will you choose? Deuteronomy 30 and 19. Let me read that to you now. Close with that. Deuteronomy 30, 19. Moses said, I called heaven and earth to record this day against you. This is what I'm telling you this morning. That I've set before you life and death. I've set before you blessing and cursing.
Yes, sir.
He said, I'm giving you a choice. But he said, I want to encourage you to choose life. That both thou and thy seed may live.
Yes, sir.
I want to encourage you to get around this altar this morning and start revival this morning by pouring your heart into it. Saying, God, I want to live on Jerusalem this week.
That's right.
And I don't want to live on Ebal this week. Oh, I've been on Ebal in church services.
Yes, sir.
I've went to church. Seemed like everybody else was getting in on it and shouting and enjoying the meeting and God blessing. I just sat there and seemed like I just couldn't get into it. Is that God's fault? No, that's me. That's me. I sat back there on my Ebal. When the truth is, I could just come onto the altar and say, God, whatever to hinder me, get out of the way. Let me get on there.
Amen.
Amen. What you need to do this morning.
Right.
Choose it. Choose life. Choose this church. One last thing. Joel 3:14. I'll just quote it, a little bit of it. He said, multitudes, multitudes are in the valley of decision.
You're right.
That's where we're at this morning. Lord is near. What are you going to choose this morning? I see. I'm going to ask Tessa to come forward. O.P. Henry. your revival. It's God's revival, but you're part of it. What are you going to do with it? What do you want out of it? Draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. That's what He said. Let's stand together this morning. You're lost this morning. Why don't you come and get saved?
As the world looks upon me, as we struggle along, they say I have nothing. Oh, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money. Oh, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters. How the world cannot see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. 'Cause there's a roof up above me, and I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family.